T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Dave, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm doing all right. Lost in a couple of leagues that were important to me, but there were two leagues that I did a salary cap draft in, Bull, and I know that we talk about that a lot.
Yeah.
And in both of them, I loaded up on stud quarterback or running backs, rather, two of them. And I'm not talking about, you know, guys that you're taking around two and round three. I'm talking one league has Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. One's got Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara. And I'm going to rely on the waiver wire to try and power me through those leagues. I'm 1-0. So I got off to a really good start, despite the not-so-great performance from Saquon Barkley against the Steelers. But I got a feeling a lot of running backs are going to have a hard time with the Steelers this year.
No doubt. Dustin's off to an 0-1 start. He had a heartbreaking, what, 5-point loss, Dustin?
I lost by 6 points. It was a good match, but I fell short last night. Needed a couple more points. And you know, it's always crazy though, Dave, is when you lose a match or a game. I should say I'm in tennis mode right now. Sorry. when you lose a game in fantasy football, don't you always look at your bench like, "Gosh, dog it! Why did I leave that guy on the bench?"
I always say, "Gosh, dog it." I definitely wonder about what could I have done differently. Was I thinking about starting a guy? Like, sometimes there are players on my bench that just they blow.
Like,
should I feel
bad for leaving Jamison Crowder on the bench? And he had 16 points.
No. He was going up against Buffalo. Before I really answer that, who would you start ahead of him?
So my starting receivers were Robert Woods, AJ Brown, mm-hmm. and John Brown.
You started A.J. Brown over Jamison Crowder? No, I'm just kidding. I would have done the exact same thing. Everybody, hey, you know what? I think it took a little chutzpah to start John Brown over Jamison Crowder, to be honest with you, and it paid off. You know, were you really ever going to sit A.J. Brown? We all drafted him expecting huge numbers, and it was Corey Davis and Jonnu Smith who put up the
Corey Davis had a nice
Tennessee.
Night last night.
Dude, it's one of the best games of his career. I hope he can keep it
up. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, so listen, when you second guess yourself like that, it hurts things, but you know that you've got good players on the bench. You're just going to have to make the right decision next time or just play somebody who just has a terrible team and a terrible lineup, and then you just blow them out.
I had a terrible start as well, Dave. 0-3 in my three leagues yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yeah, my keeper league team, I won the championship last year, so I kind of sold out and I wasn't in good shape. But in one league, I had Drew Lock as my second quarterback going. I went to bed at halftime of the game, and all I needed from him was 5 points in the second half, and he didn't get it. He did nothing in the second half.
He really needs Courtland Sutton. Like, when you go back and you watch him play last year, he was just – it was almost like – you know how Aaron Rodgers has that connection with Devontae Adams?
Sure.
You know how Baker Mayfield has that connection with Jarvis Landry?
Yeah.
Drew Lock.
Certainly not with Odell Beckham.
I don't think so. I think there's something missing there. But Lock has it with Sutton. And so I think that's going to be something that hampers Lock's numbers moving forward until he can really develop it with Fant and Judy. And it's probably more about Judy than it is Fant at this point. Or until he gets Sutton back, whenever that happens.
Dave, let's get to the waiver wire here. In my two big leagues, there's nobody on the waiver wire because we drafted extra players this year. I mean, like in one league, the guy who scored the most points this past week that's available on waivers is Cole Beasley. So,
are you telling me somebody has Myles Gaskin in your league?
Somebody must because he's not on. He's not listed. Or is this? Oh no, I'm sorry. My bad. I'm looking at projected week 2 points. I'm sorry. So most points available is Russell Gage.
Okay, so, that's a little bit better.
So somebody must have Miles Gaskin.
Oh, well, I mean, it's
not. Oh, no, no, no. Miles Gaskin's available. Miles Gaskin's available.
Sure. Yeah, go ahead. So, like, yeah. Miles Gaskin, I don't want you to think that this is who I'm recommending to go and pick up. I'm just saying, like, he's one of the desperation running backs that you'll go and pick up.
Yeah.
And Gage is probably closer to a desperation wide receiver pickup than a guy you'd want to prioritize. A lot of his numbers came in garbage time, but you see this Falcons offense, they're going to be a pass-forward team quite a bit, and I think that that's really, really good for Gage, who there's going to be some weeks where Hayden Hurst blows up and some weeks where Gage blows up, but if he's still going to get anywhere between 6 to 8 targets per week, he can help you in a PPR format. He's a good bench receiver. But I think you and I both know that there are a lot of better names to talk about.
Yeah.
The biggest of which being Benny Snell,
right,
who I don't know how long James Conner is going to be out. It sounds like it doesn't. I don't think the Steelers believe that it's a long-term injury. I think that news would have come out by now. But the cat's out of the bag. You watch James Conner play against the Giants, and he was frustrating. And then you watch Benny Snell behind that same offensive line, and he was outstanding. I mean, I really think that Snell proved to the Steelers in one game that they don't have to lean on one running back if they so choose. They can use a Snell-Conner combo when both of them are healthy. But in the meantime, before Conner gets healthy, they can lean on Snell, and it makes them a priority off the waiver wire, whether you need a running back or not. He would be my top waiver claim. And I have a feeling that somebody in every league is going to end up spending about 30% of their fab for him. It's a lot to spend just in week one on Benny Snell when you don't know for sure that he's going to have the lead job the rest of the way. But I can see it. I can see if you're desperate for running back help, or maybe you've got James Conner, dropping off a third of your fab on Benny Snell to bring him home to your roster. Maybe he'll help you win a couple of weeks. They play Denver in week two at home, and the Broncos just got done playing over 70 snaps of defense on Monday night.
We're talking with Dave Richard. Go ahead.
Sorry, Adam. Dave, anything surprise you this first week in the NFL in terms of, like, maybe somebody you missed out on, or somebody that you weren't as high on that had a great week, or someone that was supposed to have a great week like Saquon who didn't have a great week?
Well, I mean, the Saquon stat line was pretty terrible.
Easy, yeah.
I would say that Aaron Rodgers was really surprising. I had a feeling that he'd be okay going up against Minnesota. We knew that the Vikings pass rush wasn't strong, and they were still getting close to Aaron Rodgers, but they weren't actually hitting him and knocking him down. I don't believe they registered a sack, but that secondary for Minnesota, way worse than expected. And that's a Mike Zimmer calling card, and Rodgers just toasted them. And it was vintage Aaron Rodgers. I don't know for sure if he's going to end up being a top five fantasy quarterback every week the rest of the season, because they're not going to play teams like Minnesota the rest of the way. But they do play Detroit in week two, and their defense is in pretty terrible shape. So Rodgers should keep it up. We are starting to enter a sell-high period on Aaron Rodgers. I would say that he surprised me quite a bit. And I was a little disappointed in what I saw from Nick Chubb, to be honest with you. I thought that the Browns would stick with the run. I guess they stuck with it as long as they could. They got blown out by the Ravens. But I was hoping for more Nick Chubb, certainly in the passing game, maybe that being a little more even with Kareem Hunt. But now looking at the matchup against Cincinnati on Thursday, I think both those guys can end up doing very well.
Speaking of the Browns, Dave, Odell Beckham Jr. has been a huge disappointment since joining the Browns, right? 17 games played. He is under 1,100 yards and 4 touchdowns. You know, you hope this year with the new offense would turn around. It didn't in game one, although he did have 10 targets. If he doesn't have a big game against Cincinnati and you got a deep wide receiving core, are we going to get to the point here where you're not even starting Odell? I got him in one league and my wide receiver stinks, so I got to play him no matter what. But are some people in 10 leagues, are you going to start thinking about benching Odell?
Well, we were doing that at one point last year.
Yeah.
And it worked out just fine, but that was last year when we knew that Odell wasn't moving like we're used to seeing. And I studied the game. I knew I'd be talking to you. And I thought that Odell did a lot of good things. I thought Baker did a lot of bad things. And I'm still a little bit concerned about the offensive line. Now, granted, they play Baltimore. The Ravens have one of the deepest secondaries in football. They've got a good pass rush. This is not the litmus test that we need for Baker or for Odell. But if they go out there on Thursday and they stink it up against Cincinnati and their beleaguered secondary, that's cause for concern. And it just makes me think that maybe Beckham and Mayfield aren't such a good match. Maybe Mayfield as a downfield passer isn't as accurate as a number one overall pick should be. But outside of a drop that Beckham had, I really don't think he played that poorly of a game. I thought Mayfield was the one who had a tough game.
Terrible.
Dave Richard is with us, our CBS Sports fantasy guru. Dave, let's talk about Joe Burrow. You know, with the Bengals, he comes to town this weekend to play the Browns, a short week. But what did you make out of his week one performance?
I thought he did a lot of good things, but their offensive line is a real problem. And it's going to cost Burrow a couple of plays every single week. He's going to get sacked a bunch. And I wonder if I think the Browns are going to blitz him like crazy, and I think Burrow can try and work around that. And it makes me want to start Tyler Boyd and A.J. Green this week. And speaking of receivers who look good, I thought A.J. Green looked great. So it's just a matter of time before he and Burrow get on the same page. Burrow was mostly fine. There were a couple throws I'm sure he'd like to have back, but really with him, it's the offensive line. Cincinnati's got to do something to protect him better.
Are we expecting to see Kenny Golladay back here in week two?
I haven't heard that he will be back. Now, I know that the Lions were not very optimistic about him playing in week one. By the time Friday came around, they said that he was, quote, pretty limited. And I think the Lions, they know that they hung with the Bears, and they probably should have won the game against Chicago. And they did it with Quintez Cephas getting double-digit targets in the game, and Marvin Jones not really even getting a peep. T.J. Hockenson, that's a waiver wire guy that people can pick up at tight end. He contributed for the Lions as well. But this is a much harder matchup for them going up against Green Bay on the road. I would imagine that they will probably keep Golladay out for this game too, unless he's really feeling good, and then they think that they can use him to help beat the Packers. But I'm wondering if they're taking a little bit more of a long-term approach with him. We'll see. We'll get an idea of whether or not he's back on the practice field on Wednesday. If he is, I would say his chances of playing are good. And obviously, if Kenny Golladay is out there for the Lions, you're going to start him in fantasy.
Let's talk about some of these young running backs and what they did. Obviously, Clyde Edwards-Helaire Thursday night was fantastic and was the main ball carrier. J.K. Dobbins didn't have a ton of carries, but got the goal line work and the two touchdowns. Jonathan Taylor didn't play a ton, but now Marlon Mack is done for the year. Cam Akers was either the second or third option. I can't remember now at this point.
Yeah, he was second. He had 14 carries. He just didn't do anything with him.
Right. And then Swift dropped that big potential game-winning touchdown. So what did you think of the young running backs and the young wide receivers?
Well, let's just start with the running backs. I think Edwards-Helaire, everybody knows what to do with him. He's a must-start moving forward. He was just an amazing fit on Thursday night. Jonathan Taylor, I think if we were redrafting again right now, he'd be close to a top 10 to 15 pick. We just know that he's sitting on the brink of a huge workload in Indianapolis behind a really good offensive line. And Phillip Rivers kind of proved in week one that he can't help himself. His idea of kind of amending the run game is throwing those short passes to his running backs. Nyheim Hines had 8 catches. And Jonathan Taylor, who was not known as a pass catcher at Wisconsin, had 6 grabs in his first big play in the NFL. Came on a reception. It was a 35-yard play. He looked good doing it. So his rushing numbers are bound to go up. His value is sky high. The rest of the rookie running backs, I wouldn't say I'm feeling great about, although I'm happy to have them on my fantasy rosters. That includes Dobbins with the 2 touchdowns. It includes Zach Moss, who really did nothing for Buffalo except for catch a touchdown. And that was just kind of a he was in the right place at the right time for Josh Allen type of play. And I wonder if that's just going to be how Buffalo rolls on offenses. Just let Josh Allen play backyard football and let him do his thing. The receivers, none of them did amazing. The numbers weren't great for them. Laviska Shenault scored, but it's the same thing as the running backs. I'm thrilled to have CeeDee Lamb on my roster. Jerry Jeudy will eventually hang on to the football. He will do great things. Jalen Reagor will do great things. The only rookie receiver that I think is droppable at this point is going to be Justin Jefferson with the Vikings. I just don't see him getting a crazy high target share to make him worthy of even being on a fantasy bench. I think that team is all about Thielen. I think it's all about Dalvin Cook. And when necessary, they'll go to guys like B.C. Johnson. Jefferson would be in that mix. And they've got 2 tight ends that they like a lot.
Brian asks, if Golladay is out again, should he start Ruggs or Paris Campbell?
If it's PPR, it's got to be Paris Campbell. I mean, this is one of the reasons why T.Y. Hilton didn't have a great game against Jacksonville is because Phillip Rivers was leaning on his slot receiver. Where have we seen that before? Oh, yeah, with the Chargers when he was leaning on Keenan Allen for, you know, 6 years or however many years they spent together. I think Campbell's for real. He's another one of those good waiver wire pickups. He would probably be third or fourth for me among wide receivers on the waiver chain because I like Anthony Miller. I like what I saw from Mike Williams. I like what I saw from Robbie Anderson. But in a PPR format where that volume should be steady, you can probably pencil in 12 to 15 points per week from Paris Campbell so long as he's healthy.
Peter asked, starters, DJ Moore or Terry McLaurin?
I'm going to lean toward McLaurin this week. The matchup is better for him. Tampa Bay's defense looks really good, I got to say. Like they did a great job containing Michael Thomas. He didn't sprain his ankle until the end of the game, so he was really held in check. And I wonder if they're going to try and do something similar with DJ Moore while putting pressure on Teddy Bridgewater. McLaurin got matched up against Darius Slay. Slay did what he does usually, which is limit the volume and the numbers for the receivers that he lines up against. It's going to be a different story this week for McLaurin against Arizona, and it's a game where I think Washington's going to have to throw a bunch.
And by the way, Dave, who out there predicted that the Washington football team would be the number one defense fantasy-wise after week one?
I didn't predict that they would be the number one defense, but I did predict they would beat Philadelphia. That one felt pretty good.
Oh, you did? Look at you.
Yeah.
Good prediction. They were down 17-0, right?
I had that one right. I had Jonnu Smith as, you know, a sleeper tight end. He scored last night. Things are looking up for me. Now,
yeah, didn't you change your Twitter handle to have Jonnu Smith in it at one point?
Hashtag Jonnu. I wanted everybody to get him on their teams, and everybody who's got Jonnu Smith on their teams is pretty happy, but he kind of got overshadowed by Noah Fant in the same game. Fant, really. I wish I had changed it to hashtag Fant. That would have been a lot better than hashtag Jonnu, but I think some of that had to do with Cortland Sutton being there.
Dave, give us the rundown. What's going on at CBS?
Well, we are always breaking down waiver wire stuff. You can go to CBSSports.com to get our waiver wire order, just so we have it in here, Bull. The running backs, Benny Snell first, Nyheim Hines second, Malcolm Brown third. That's if you're in a PPR league for the running backs. But you can find more detailed information about that on the website, CBSSports.com, or you can watch CBS Sports HQ live or on demand. Fantasy Football Today is the name of the show. We're live noon Eastern every weekday, and the shows are available on demand. You can go back and watch what we said at noon today about all the running backs. You'll know exactly who to add, who to drop, how much fab to spend to make sure that your teams are ready to go for week two.
Dave, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate
awesome,
it. Thanks,
Dave,
for joining us.
You got it, gentlemen. Good luck in your leagues this weekend.
Thanks, Dave.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.